I went back and read it, and Isaiah said to Hezekiah, because you prayed, I will send my angel. Let me say it another way. Because you partnered with me, I'll take the enemy out in one night. I just needed one person to partner with me. This week, as I began praying, it just hit me to bring kind of the summary message, because there can sometimes be a thinking that God does it all and we really don't have to do anything. We can get in that attitude of, it's just all God. It's just all God. No, it's not all God, because you have a part. I have a friend of mine who's a recording artist. He's been here several times, Steve Green, and he's won Grammy Awards and all. And he said, I got in this, he was telling me one time this at lunch. He said, I got in this false humility. I didn't even know it's false humility. And he said, I started just saying, when people would say that was a really good concert, he said, I just started saying it was all God. Well, it's all God. Well, it's all God. I don't know if you ever heard anyone say that. It's just all God, brother. You know, it's all God. And so he said, one time I sang, I walked off the platform, and this guy said to me, brother, that was good. And I said to him, well, brother, it's just all God. And the guy said, well, it wasn't that good. And Steve said, I thought to myself, that's true. If it had been all God, I wouldn't have gone flat on that last note, you know. So if it's all God. Okay, so let me go through some things here to help you understand a truth, to understand we have a part. Number one, God doesn't need anything. God doesn't need anything. Now, let me just put it this way. God is, I like putting them up so you can see it. God is self-existent, self-sufficient, and self-sustaining. God is self-existent, self-sufficient, and self-sustaining. This is actually one of the attributes of God. It's eternal. God is eternal, or infinite is another one that would apply to this. So God doesn't need anything to exist. Does everyone understand that? He doesn't need anything to exist. Years ago, Demi and I went on an Alaskan cruise. And so we were sitting on the deck, Debbie and I, one day, and we were just relaxing, and I looked out at Alaska, and I just thought, God, you are just so big. And I just thought, you know, you don't need anything. And the Lord said, I need you. And I hate to tell you what I said to him, but I explained to him why that's not theologically correct. I said, you know, Lord, I don't know how long it's been since you were in seminary, but when you go to seminary, you learn, that's just not theologically correct. You're self-existent, self-sufficient, self-sustaining, you're eternal, you don't need anything to exist, you don't need anything. And the Lord said, I need you. I said, no, Lord, you don't, you want me, and you love me, but you don't need me. And he said, I need you. So I realized I wasn't going to win the argument. So I said, well, what do you mean you need me? And this is point number two. God decided to need you. Now, you could put in here, instead of the word need, if you wanted to, partner. God decided to partner with you or cooperate with you. Think about the word cooperate. It's to operate something, but to do it with someone else. Even the word partner means that each person has a part. And the name of the message is, what's your part? See, if you partner with God, you have a part, and God has a part. God even said to me, I remember on the cruise, he said, son, I don't need you to exist. I can exist without you, but I need you to coexist. I actually decided to need your partnership to manage the earth. I decided to become partners with you in the management of the earth. And you can see it right from the beginning. Genesis 2, verse 19. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. Now notice, Adam did not create the animals. God did. That's God's part. God has a part. We have a part. Out of the ground, God formed every beast of the field and every bird there and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. I don't know how much you've thought about this, but I've thought about this. I just want you to think about this. Watch this next sentence. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. Why? Why did God have Adam name the animals? Because he was starting a partnership. He was starting cooperation, a co-op. That's why he didn't have, he could have said, come here, son, come here, come here. See that animal there with a hump? That's a camel. There's a one hump camel and a two hump camel. I just thought I'd do that. I just throw it in. Had one. One has one hump, one has two. The one with the real long nose, real fat, that's an elephant. And to see that bird flying, oh, duck. That's why I called it that. Why didn't God do that? Because he didn't want to. He wanted to have a part. His part was the part that Adam couldn't do. Well, I want you to catch that, the supernatural part. But Adam's part was the part he could do. Then, by the way, we have all these theological arguments of why God created Adam first and then Eve. Remember, he created Adam, and then he had Adam and animals, and then Eve. I can just tell you just my personal opinion. He had a job for Adam to do. He knew if I create a naked woman, he'll never get the job done. This is not that hard to figure out. Adam, look at me. Look at Adam. Look, Adam, can you stop looking at Eve? Can you just look at me just for a minute? I asked you to name the animals. You named three animals yesterday. The red bird, blue bird, and the ant eater. And I told you he was an animal that eats ants. And you came up with ant eater. Adam, look at me when I'm talking to you. That's just my opinion. But he created, from the beginning, God wanted to partner with us. So Jesus, when he's on this earth, I want to show you a verse about partnership that'll blow you away. Actually, it's difficult to explain theologically unless you understand what I'll share with you about it. Mark 6, verse 5, talking about Jesus, says, now he could do no mighty work there. In other words, he could not do a mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people. By the way, look everywhere else that says all sick people. He healed all sick people or all who came to him. Here, he couldn't heal them all. He could not. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. The Bible uses the word could not. He could not. He could do no mighty work. Could. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And this word could is to be able or to be possible. In other words, God, Jesus wasn't able to, but he was everywhere else. Okay, so let me hit you with a huge sentence. God limited his unlimited power to our faith. That's incredible. He walks into a town of unbelief, and the creator of the universe could not do a mighty work there. Let me just ask you this. I wonder how many mighty works God can't do in your life because of your unbelief. It's all through Scripture. So here's a little question for you. Do you think Satan knows this? Of course he does. Look at this. Remember David and Goliath? 1 Samuel 17, verse 4, and a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits, a cubit's 18 inches, so that'd be 9 feet, for those of you that did not already have that number in your mind, and a span is 6 inches. So he's 9 foot, 6 inches tall. 9.5 feet tall. Then he stood and cried to the armies, verse 8, to the Israel, and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Are you the servants of Saul? Choose a man. Notice what he says, a man for yourselves. And let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, you will be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Okay, so you got Goliath saying this to the people of God. Is it possible, though, there's a behind-the-scenes conversation of Satan saying something like this to God? I've got you now. I've got you. I've been watching. And I figured out how you work. I've been watching Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, watch Moses, watch Noah. You work through people. And even though you've got all the power, you've limited your power to their faith. And I know that fear is the enemy of faith. So I got a 9.5 foot tall giant. And I've got them all afraid. So I'm about to get all of your people into bondage. Because there's not a man in Israel that's got the guts to stand up to my man. And you work through men, you work through people. Now you gotta remember that Satan can't see the future, but God can. And God knew this day was coming, right? So Satan says, I got you. There's not a man that's got the guts to stand up to my man. You know what God said? I don't need a man, I got a boy. I knew what you were planning. And I have been preparing him with a lion and a bear and a slingshot. And David partnered with God that day and took Satan out. When the Lord was speaking this to me on that cruise ship, he said, son, everything I do, I partner with people. David had to sling the stone. And then the Lord just said to me, he said, okay, since I created Adam and Eve, go through the Bible and find something that I did without partnering. So I start going through, because this is my, you got to remember, it's not that I'm more spiritual because I know more of the Bible. It's that this is my job. I've been doing this for years. So I'm going through Genesis, I'm going through Exodus, I'm going through Leviticus, I'm going through Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, going through 1 Chronicles, even the first, oh, got you. I got you, God. 2 Kings 19. You sent an angel and killed 185,000 men of the enemy. They were encamped around Jerusalem. I got you. You sent an angel, killed 185,000 men. Nobody helped you do that. And the Lord said to me, go back and read it. Go back and read it. You know, I told you, I said, I know the Bible because I've been studying it for 35, 40 years now. He knows it better, I found out. I went back and read it, and Isaiah said to Hezekiah, Isaiah the prophet said to Hezekiah the king, because you prayed, I will send my angel. Because you prayed. Let me say it another way. Because you partnered with me. I'll take the enemy out in one night. I just needed one person to partner with me. So here's question number three. Have you decided to need God? God decided to need you. Have you decided to need God? Now, I'm not talking about just in salvation, but you better first of all decide that you need God to be saved. But even since you've been saved, have you decided to need God in what you're going through right now? Let me just assure you that if it didn't happen last week, if something will happen next week, and you'll need God. And you'll have to continue to decide that you need God. It's just so let me just, I got three sub points under this. And there's just one little illustration under each one that'll just help you. But here's just three little subpoints that you got to pick up these. Here's the first one. God is never going to do our part. God's never going to do our part. So God has a part and you have a part. God's never going to do your part. Never. You have to do your part or it will not get done. There, I heard about this lady that works in the nursery. And I don't know if she still does, but this was a few years ago. And she wasn't married, didn't have any children. She just volunteered in the nursery. And she's a real funny, outgoing young lady, you know. And so one day she's changing a diaper and she's talking to God. And she just got a funny personality. And she just said to the Lord, "Lord, when I get married, are you going to help me? When I have children, are you going to help me?" And remember, she's changed a diaper. And then she said, "Lord, are you going to change diapers for me?" Just like that. And she said, just like that, I heard the Lord say, "I am the Lord. I change not." I change not. I don't change in diapers. That's not my part. That's your part. God's never going to do our part. Here's second subpoint. Our part is never supernatural. Our part is never supernatural. And by the way, that's good because you're not supernatural. I don't care what any other teacher on television tells you, you're not supernatural. We just know someone who's supernatural. Let me say another way. You're not Superman, but we know Superman. We have a relationship with him. But you're not, it's wonderful. It's great because you can go to work. You don't have to do anything supernatural. When someone needs prayer, you don't have to feel this burden for them to be healed. That's God's part. Your part is to pray. Think about this. Moses standing in front of the Red Sea, his part was not to part the Red Sea. His part was to hold up the rod. That's all God told him to do. Go hold up the rod. That's all he said. I could have done that. I could have held the stick up. You could have held the stick up. Think about it. That's all Moses had to do was hold up a stick. God's part is always the hard part. Well, it's not hard for him, though. Here's the third subpoint here. Our part is first. Now, theologically, let me explain, God is always first. That's the preeminence of God. It's one of his attributes. It means he's first of all, above all, and before all. Above all. So God's first. He's always first. But, and let me give you another scripture to just back that up. We love God because he first loved us. Okay, so I understand God is first. But what I'm trying to tell you is that God's actually already done his part. He's already sent Jesus, and Jesus is not going to come die again. Jesus said, "It's finished. My part's finished." He's done his part. Do you know you have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing already? That's already happened. So God's already done his part. Now it's your part. So let me go back just for a minute to Adam and to Goliath, and that'll be our wrap up, two illustrations, okay? Let me ask you a question and just show you the partnership, okay, again. Doesn't it seem a bit strange? Now I'm jumping to Romans 5 now, but doesn't it seem a bit strange that one man sinned and the whole world was condemned? That's Romans 5. Just go read it yourself. It is theology 101. It's not even 201 or 301. It's 101. It's the basics. It's the kindergarten of theology. You can study it yourself if you want to. Romans 5, very clear that through the one man sinned and the whole world was condemned to death. It's very clear. So doesn't it seem, let me say it another way rather than strange, doesn't it seem a little unfair to you that one man sinned and all were sentenced to death? Now, see, you don't want to answer because you're in church. And you remember Ananias and Sapphira that died in church because they had gave the wrong answer. Okay, but you'll go out and you'll probably get in the car and you'll say, you know, it does seem unfair. When you think about it, it's really unfair. It's unfair. And I've told you this before, when you read something in this book, now this is real deep, okay? But when you read something in this book, that you don't understand, it's because you don't understand. There's nothing wrong with this book. So if you ever read something that you think, well, that sounds like that's unfair, God, you just don't understand. So even though it might seem unfair that one man sinned and the whole world was condemned, let me tell you what it actually was. Brilliant. It was brilliant. Only God could have come up with it. And let me tell you why it was brilliant. Listen, since it only took one man to lose it all, it only took one man to get it all back. That was God's plan. It's just brilliant. It's exactly, go on and read the whole thing of Romans 5. Through one man, the whole world was condemned, and through one man, the whole world is forgiven. All their sins are paid for. Life came to every person who will receive it. Okay, so that's Adam. Now let's go to Goliath just for a minute. Goliath said, choose a man that he may come down and fight with me. If I win, I get them all. If he wins, he gets them all. Is it possible that there was a conversation like that one day between God and Satan? And is it possible that Satan said something like this to God? Hey, why don't you choose a man and he and I'll fight. And if I win, I get everybody. And if he wins, he gets everybody. And God said something like this. Okay, yeah, I'll do that. I choose Jesus. And Satan would have said, whoa, wait. He's not a man. And God would have said, well, we'll just make him one. And Jesus became a man and lived the life that you couldn't live and died the death that you should have died and won freedom for every person in the whole world who will accept Jesus Christ. Now you might be thinking, well, wait, you said if Satan wins, he gets small, if Jesus wins, he gets small. Pastor, are you preaching ultimate reconciliation that everyone will be saved? No. Remember the title of the message. What's your part? You have a part even in getting saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. See, you have a part. So here's my question for you. Those of you who, if you're not saved, you have a part. But all of you that are saved, what do you need God to do in your life right now? Here's the question. What's the biggest need you have right now in your life? What miracle do you need right now? Okay, then the next question, once you zero in on that, is say to God, God, what's my part? Like if you need a breakthrough right now, how much are you praying for the breakthrough? How much spiritual warfare are you doing? How much obedience in that area are you doing? Are y'all following me? What's your part?
Isn't it amazing that the self-existent, self-sustaining, self-sufficient God of the universe decided to partner with us? So my question is exactly what I've been asking you in this message. Have you decided to partner with God? And I want you to just take a moment and think about which area do you need to partner with God in your life. And many times we can find that area out by simply asking ourselves this question, where do I need a miracle right now? And so in which area you need a miracle could be the area where you need to partner with God. So let's ask the Holy Spirit, how do I partner with you to see the God who is the God of the universe work a miracle today in my life. I love you guys so much. I absolutely love that you love the Word of God and you love to hear the Word of God taught and preached. And I love getting to minister to you. Thanks so much for watching. I'll see you next time.
We're so glad you joined us for today's program. As we learn more about who God is, it's important to know that what we believe about God affects how we live, how we view ourselves, and even how we respond to trials. Our beliefs about who God is also affects our relationship with Him. That's why it's so important to have a healthy view of God, one that is not based on our feelings or opinion, but on the truth of His Word. In his series, God Is, Pastor Robert reveals the attributes of God and gives you a fresh perspective into His character and heart. We hope you'll be encouraged as you learn more about your Heavenly Father, who never changes and loves you more than you'll ever know. As our way of saying thank you for your gift of any amount today, we'll send you this series on CD or as an audio digital download. And for your gift of $55 or more, we will send you God Is on both CD and DVD or as an audio and video digital download. Don't wait to request today's offer so you can begin to experience a richer relationship with God and be reminded of His constant faithfulness no matter what is taking place in the world around you. Be sure to visit us today at PastorRobert.com to request your copy of the series, watch the latest sermon series, and explore the many other resources available to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Also, be sure to let us know how we can pray for you and your family. As always, thank you for your generous prayers and financial support of Pastor Robert Morris Ministries.
Introducing the all-new PastorRobert.com, where we've made it even easier for you to connect with us. You can watch current and previous episodes of our television program, shop in our online store with enhanced security, and access a free weekly devotional. We hope that our new features will help you find exactly what you need to continue to grow in your relationship with the Lord. To learn more, visit us at PastorRobert.com.